This is Marketing Voices, featuring the fresh perspectives of industry leaders and examining the impact of social media on marketing.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Jones. Welcome to Marketing Voices. Today I have Bruce Temkin with me of Forrester Research, who's the VP Analyst of Customer Experience. And he and I are going to be talking about his recent blog post that he put up, which I really have to say I enjoyed enormously, and it was called Six New Management Imperatives for Life Today, and he's going to delve into what that means. So, Bruce, welcome to Marketing Voices.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, and just to mention to all my listeners, Bruce does have a bit of a cold. He just got off of, doing a major seminar, he told me, in Calgary. So for those of you that recognize his voice normally, you might not recognize him today. But anyway, So give me some sense of what it means to be a VP, an analyst of customer experience at Forrester. What's your job entail?
I know, Jennifer, don't titles always seem like a mouthful?
Yeah.
what I do is I do pretty much two things. One is I research, which means I go out and talk to companies and vendors to find out what the best practices are in delivering great customer experiences to consumers so that it builds loyalty. So I'm all about understanding what are the best practices that actually drive loyalty. That's one part of my job. The other part of my job is to actually take what I've learned and help large organizations, retailer, financial services firms, telcos, through lots of different venues so that they can get better.
So you just did this recent post that I mentioned earlier on six new management imperatives, and one of which was focused on investing in corporate culture. So tell us more about your imperatives and what they mean.
Yeah, it's interesting. I got the idea about imperatives when I forgot where I found this information, but I looked at the history of Harvard Business School. So Harvard Business School was created exactly 100 years ago, 1908, and it was actually created after the 1907 bankers' panic when the stock market fell apart and everyone was in chaos, and the world believed that whatever we were doing in the past, we couldn't do going forward. And so the Harvard Business School was created to generate new management practices for the changing environment. And when I looked at that, I said, oh, my God, that's now. And, you know, we haven't had a time like that in 100 years where we've introduced a new Harvard Business School. But what I realized at that point was we've really gotten to the point in our current environment where there's been enough change in the way consumers behave, there's been enough change in terms of technology and enablements and capabilities, and there's been enough change in what businesses need and should do, which is what drove me to say, hey, there really is need for a new management education out there, so I came up with six new management imperatives.
Why don't you just first go into the six imperatives, just list them, and then delve into the listening one.
Sure. So the six are, the first is to invest in culture as a corporate asset. What I'm talking about there is, if you think about it, we always talk about lots of assets on our balance sheet, and executives take really good pains in trying to manage those assets. But quite frankly, culture is something that can dramatically improve the performance of everyone in your company. If that's not an asset, then I don't think anything else is, yet we don't manage it like an asset. The second is make listening an enterprise-wide skill, and I'll come back to that. The third is turn innovation into a continuous process. Innovation is way too important to today's companies to think about it as an isolated or a project thing. We need to embed it in what we do. The fourth is provide a clear and compelling purpose. At the end of the day, companies don't operate just to make a profit. They need to have something more compelling that brings employees into the mix, brings everyone along with them. So we need to start seeing executives create a purpose, a sense of being about why the company exists and what it's about. The fifth is to extend and enhance the digital fabric. What we've seen over the last 10 years is that everything has the ability to become more digitized, more embedded in whether it's online network environments, whether it's wireless. The opportunity to not only extend things out to customers through digital means, but also the ability to automate processes and capabilities that were not possible before. So there's an enormous opportunity. We've only started to tap into it. So that's why the fifth one is extend and enhance the digital fabric. The sixth and final principle is that executives need to practice good social citizenship. if you think about it, in the old days, you never knew much about what was going on with companies other than what was reported in the news and maybe what was covered through some offline type of communication. Nowadays, people know what's going on. So if you are not a good social citizen, people find out about it and people react pretty abruptly to it. So those are these six management principles that I have to say, it's not that you have to forget about how doing marketing and engineering and accounting and all, you know, whatever the core capabilities of management are, you just need to make sure that in addition, you pick up these six new ones. So go back to the question you asked, what's listening?
Yeah, what's listening? That's, I think, is important because I think that to me is a hard thing to get into when you're a corporate culture. How do you listen as a corporate culture?
Yeah, so listening. And it's interesting, on my list I say make listening an enterprise-wide skill, and I use the small letter L. I think I'm going to actually edit my blog, and you'll see listening with a capital L. So to begin with, I want to make the distinction between small L listening and big L listening. Small L listening is, okay, you just figure out how you're going to hear things from customers and employees, and that's what we're talking about. How do you sense and hear things from customers and employees? A big L means not only how do you hear things, how do you internalize it, interpret it, react, and monitor your reactions to that? Now, so if you think about it, with everything changing in the world, especially with the current economic environment and things changing rapidly, it's really important that you pick up on signals. Great example of that is Zara, the Spanish retailer. They actually have employees inside of their retail stores who are looking for trends in terms of what the customers are asking for and what types of trends seem to be going out of style. That stuff gets picked up, communicated to corporate really quickly, and they immediately change their buying and manufacturing approach based on listening. And that's why Zara has become the largest retailer in the world. They actually have just recently outpaced Gap as the largest, I say, apparel retailer. So that's one type of listening we're talking about. Other great examples of listening, and I don't think any company has totally mastered listening, which is why we need to build it as an enterprise-wide skill. But you look at things like what Legos does. Legos has created online communities. And once again, this is a capability that didn't exist when the Harvard Business School was created 100 years ago. But they created online communities, really, really engaged kids, and really engaged parents, and really engaged OEMs. These people actually build stuff using Legos. And they use those online communities to actually check things like, what are the right products for them to create? What's the right messaging? Are they on target with their strategy? So that's a way to continuously listen to important constituents and actually bring that information into all of the ongoing decisions that you make.
Wow, pretty amazing. You know, I can't tell you how many times on this show that Legos has been brought up as a company that really gets social media and in many ways. And it always intrigues me because, they don't seem to really sort of promote themselves that way. They just do it.
Yeah, I think that's a great comment because I'm not a social media guy. There are analysts who cover social media.
Right.
I cover corporate strategy. I cover enterprise-wide efforts. So I think that if you look at social media and where it's going to evolve going forward, it's not about these isolated social media activities. It's how do you embed social media into the fabric of your processes and decision-making. And I think that's why you hear things from Lego. They're not trying to promote that they're social media players. They're trying to learn how do they internalize some of those new capabilities in their efforts.
Yeah, well, Bruce, very good point. And I think on that note, we're going to have to end the podcast. So I've been talking to Bruce Temkin, who's a VP Analyst of Customer Experience at Forrester Research. And Bruce, thank you so much for joining me in Marketing Voices, especially with your cold.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Jennifer. Hopefully I didn't sound too hoarse.
Yeah, well, so now tell everyone where your blog is and give them the URL.
Yeah, I'd love you to come visit the blog. If you want to find it, it's experiencematters.wordpress.com. If that's too hard to find, then you can actually Google customer experience and look for my blog called Customer Experience Matters.
Great. So thank you again, Bruce, and thank you to all my listeners. Check me out at www.marketingvoices.com and leave a comment if you want me to cover something that you think is really important. And until next week, may all the voices you hear be marketing voices.